suffer? Or are you suffering? Come on. Any of you in here suffer? Or have you ever suffered?
Yes.
Am I talking to you right too? Well, why? Why God allow you to suffer? I think you know if you know the purpose of certain things, we belt from it. Say, come! Come suffering because you're coming for a purpose, right? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Whatever is coming for, come. Yeah. That's coming for a purpose. Alright. You think suffering is something joyful? Or you feel pain? To suffer means to endure, to undergo pain, sorrow, punishment, etc. Will it be mind, emotion, or will it be your mind, your emotion, body, or spirit? It is depressing, it is felt or experienced. It is universal. All over the world people suffer. Amen? I said, all over the world people suffer. But thank God, the suffering that God allows us to suffer is for a purpose. Amen? God is a God who knows all the past, you know all the present, and you know all the future. Praise the Lord. Good. Now, why people suffer? We talk in general, then we come to the Christian. So, the people suffering in the world, something they don't know. And sometimes, you know, when they say things, you feel so sorry for them because they don't. Like you see, life without a purpose, life without a goal. People think, why do I have to go through all of this? Why am I suffering like this? When people don't know God, right? And you feel sorry for them. But do you know sometimes God allows suffering also to bring people to Christ? Come on, do you know that?
Amen.
If Saul of Tarsus was going to throw him from the earth and get blind, he never want to accept Christ. From the kind of person that he was. But God used that suffering to bring him to Christ. How many people do you know? They would have never come to know Christ until something bad happened to them. They're on their sick bed. Right? And then they realize, listen, it was only God could help me. Or they're in a situation that said, only God could help me now. God allowed that to happen to bring them to Christ. So people suffer as an ongoing consequence of the fall of Adam and Eve. When sin entered the world, pain, sorrow, conflict, and eventual death invaded the lives of all human beings. Romans 5:12 tells us, wherefore by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. Now, why do you think we have imagine that there was no sin. Think about a world that there was no sin. If there was no sin, there would have been no what? Come on, follow me. If there was no sin, there was what? No suffering, right? It's because of sin we have suffering. And if there was no sin, there would have been no suffering. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And Sister Marlo, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No sin, no suffering. But do you know a day is coming back like that? I said a day is coming back like that. When there will be no more sin in the world. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When we'll be with the Lord, no more sin. So no more suffering. Because of sin, we have suffering. Sin has consequences. Alright, people suffer as a result of wrongdoing of others. For example, some parent may be living immoral lives as a result, contact a deadly disease and pass it on to their offspring. As a result, their offspring or the children suffer not because of anything wrong they had done, but because of the parents, right? In that case, some may disobey the traffic laws, drive carelessly as a result of other people suffer. Some people may suffer because of genuine accidents. Some people may be traveling in a vehicle and the brakes fail. Or some may be traveling in an airplane and the airplane develop engine problem and then they suffer. Have you heard right in this country that somebody walking in the road and a stray will kill them and kill them? Arrange them or something. They didn't do anything wrong to get that. So they're suffering all over. That's why you see, brother, sister, we're living in as the Bible calls perilous time, right? We're living in a time now where things are not uncertain. We think all, and I talk about myself too, generally speaking, well, unless the Lord have his hand upon us, well, of course, we won't die until the Lord says we die. But do you know that even in church, some people come and kill people?
Yes.
Isn't that so? Yeah, you have heard about that. You can be walking down the road. The next thing you know, they got some gang fight out, and they shoot a bullet and hit you and kill you. Life is not, that's why we have to always be prepared to meet our God, because we don't know. Amen? All be prepared. Suffering is all over this world. Alright. But this kind of suffering, none of us as Christians should suffer. This one here that I'm going to mention now. 1 Peter 4:15 tells us, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody, or meddler in other people's matters." Right? Now if you thief on somebody, slap you, or the chop you, you think you're suffering there for Christ? I'm suffering for Christ. You're suffering for Christ. You're suffering because you're a thief. Right? We will get disappointed. No? So don't suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as a busybody. No, don't suffer. In other words, don't suffer for wrong, for whatever wrong you do. Suffer for Christ. I can understand that. Now, why do we as Christians, you and I, all of us, from time to time, and some of us go through some rough time, and say rough time, you know. It's going to take some, we don't talk. You know, we got to learn to rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice in everything, give God thanks. But God allows you to suffer for a purpose. You have to know the purpose. That when it comes, if you know what some brethren going through here, what some of them brethren going through in other countries, you stay quiet as quiet can be.
Yes.
No? You know, some country can glare to you, but we're hearing about that. Because of Christ, the people are being beheaded. Because of Christ. If some people never, they maybe see a sword that will come near their neck and they. Well, you know what I discover? When I look in the history of Christianity, like when things are real rough, people like they really get no close to the Lord and they're really serving the Lord. Why should I wait for that? I want the time to come, I can serve the Lord in good time and bad time, right?
Amen?
Amen? Yes. Why God allows us to suffer? Many of us suffer. And of course, suffering is in different ways, in different forms. Some of us may suffer mentally. Alright? You don't have to suffer mentally. The Lord will what? Keep him in what? Perfect peace. Whose mind is what? Sustainer. And listen, the devil loves to attack. You know, we the fourth place the devil attack? Mind.
Amen.
Because you can get your mind, as a man thinketh in his heart. You can attack your mind. Some people suffer from that. Sometimes you see some people in that might be. Well, at one time I thought when you talk to people, they're mad, right? You don't think so? The people are rather not necessarily mad, but they're losing it, right? Well, I learned, I did a subject communication, and they say when you talk to yourself, you self-communicate, you communicate with yourself. You know that? You talk to yourself, right? And sometimes talk to the Lord, and maybe I don't do it. Well, I mentioned this to you over. So why God allow you to suffer as a brother, as a sister, as a Christian? Why God allow you to suffer? Huh? That's just number one thing. Why are you serving the Lord? Why am I serving the Lord? Ask yourself the question. Why are you serving the Lord? I got to ask myself, why am I serving the Lord? If you can get that answer crystal clear in your mind and in your heart, praise the Lord, you're in the right track. You're the track that in which God will bless you and make you a blessing to others. For God got to find out. And God knows, but God, you have to let you know and others know what your purpose, what your motive for serving God. God allows us as Christians to suffer in order or to test or try us so we and others can see our motive for serving Him. Job 23:10 tells us, "When He, that's God, has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." As we live for our Lord, there's going to be a time when God will test or try us so that we and others can see our motive for serving Him. We have to ask ourselves personally, every one of us, including myself, why are we serving the Lord? What's our motive for serving Him? Are we serving Him because of what we can get from Him? Or are we serving Him because we love Him? The testing of our Lord will reveal our motive for serving Him. You know, they got a song I like? We want the what? The healing, but we don't want the healer. We want the what? I don't know if it goes like this too, but I'm just saying something. We want the blessings, but we don't want the blesser, right? Now I think all of us remember, are familiar with the story of the fisherman, right? Anybody remember that? In John 6, 6 from 1 to 13, teaches us about the feeding of 5,000. This is our Lord miraculously fed about 15,000 people with fish and bread. I don't know what kind of fish they had yet. What kind of fish? But anyhow, like a nice fish, we can't come back with, right? Fish and bread, satisfying their physical need. The following day, according to the Bible, I think the same group of people were seeking for Jesus again. Oh boy, there's a good thing to seek for Jesus, right? Isn't that so? The ones that you seek for people to take church, that's sort of things are happening to them. Yeah? That's sort of situation. Like some people don't, like they don't know God, tell them something. You know how people like, no, the one God is a convenience. When things going good, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And some God is not a convenience, you hear? God is boss. He's king. He's master. Treat Him as king. Amen? Treat Him as Lord. Not only when you want Him. You know, that's a bit like, but generally speaking, I'm talking about humankind. That's when Marvin 240 something million dollars. The guy in his mind, you know. Praise the Lord for him, amen? We say, all them people who know two or three people, I mean, he said, no, nothing's going to be. Because when you got, like people know you. I mean, you're got. What happened? So the custom people, generally speaking, are like that. When things bad, when things go rough with them, like, you can't get something for the phone call or whatever, brother. You can't, why? I don't know if there's something. Man walks up for borrow $20 and come to you. He said, hey, brother, how the children, how the wife, how everybody. Could you lend me $20? They grow now. Come on, children. I want to buy $20. But it just feels like that. When they need you, oh boy. But when they have need of you, it's another story altogether. Right? So now they were seeking for the Lord. And when they found Him on the other side of the sea, they said unto Him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Verse 26. Jesus answered and said to them, you know when I come up, my Lord? He was a plain spoken person. Amen? He don't use a mince matter. Now somebody me and I might want to be more polite and I want to be more soft. Not Jesus. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, seek me not because you saw the signs or miracles, but because you ate up the loaves and were filled. You know why you're seeking me? Because with the monster here, you're seeking me because of what you can get from it. This is what I believe you will actually sing it. In other words, you're seeking me fish and bread. You think that's what fish and bread apports people in the church? Maybe. Who knows? Your God will put you to the test. Yeah? He's going to put you to see if you're a fish and bread Christian. I believe these people were seeking the Lord not because they love Him and they want to praise Him, but they for fish and bread, man. So Job looked down and saw, you know, God. When the sons of God appeared, Job come. I don't know. Job is like Satan down all over the place, you know. And then the heavenly deity, then church right now, you absorb it. Amen? And you don't listen. You better take a sleep now, right? Amen. What you can get, what God can give you, right? Come whisper something in here. You know something, then in the middle of hearing I something, something come flash your mind? Say, get the hand, Satan, name of you, plead the blood against you. Amen. I don't want to hear faith coming by what? Hearing and hearing by the word of God. So he went up there, Satan, say, you see the man I called Job? You know why Job's serving you? Yeah? You know why Job serving you? Anyway, I don't need what I'm saying. You see my God, Basel? But Basel, yeah. You know why he's serving you? And see, you see that the Muslim says, ah, you know why he's serving you? You think the Lord know why he's serving him? The Lord know. But Satan know. Every, you better believe every one of us, we're under scrutiny. We're under scrutiny of the devil, amen? And what the Bible called him what? An accuser of the what?
Brethren.
Accusers. So now watch for those spirits of accusation. Alright. In the book of Job, chapter 1, 9 to 11, teaches us Satan accused Job, a servant of God, to God thing. He, Job. This was amongst us, was serving you because of what he have gotten from you. To prove Satan wrong and to let Job and others see his motive for serving God. God allows him to test him. In other words, didn't Satan say to God, if you take away what he got, he will force you? And I don't know what he was saying. He can't serve you no more. Whatever you give to him, he still will carry what you give to him. And see a little money you give to him, and see a little back to come to give to him. It will still happen. Let it not go, it will happen. Just absorb you. Well, sometime or not in your life, God will allow something to happen, and then you can see the real you come out. How get in the end of it? Let me say it fast. But can you see a man or woman is a case of being, you know, young, 20, 18, and you know, you can say, ah, oh, you love you, love you, love you, love you, love you, the kidney, don't you, and you love it on my heart. And she said, I love you so much, and I'll give her, I'll cross the river for you, or whatever they say. And, there's so much in love. Now, when I hear a 21, 25-year-old girl gonna marry a 67-year-old man, right? My antenna goes up. Wait, she's 25 years. I'm gonna marry a 67-year-old man. Something, and something right there. Now, the unsafe people got them, and they're Satan, and I don't worry, I don't mean no way bad, I don't feel the bad side, no money, no love. You ever hear that? Maybe that song, I think that song was like that. No money, no love. So some people, they might marry somebody because of what they can get from them. And the minute they get it, or if it's done, bye-bye, see you in the next, maybe in the next wedding. That's why you gotta make sure when you get into a relationship that this person will love you because of who you are, not because of what you got. Amen? Now what kind of man? This man was a commendable man. This man was a reputable man. What kind of man was Job? According to the Bible, he was a righteous man. Job 1:1. He was a wealthy man. Verse 3. He was a family man. Verse 2. He was a friendly man. Job 2:11-13. And he was a servant of God. Aren't these very commendable qualities? What a mighty man of God. Amen? And Satan accused Job, saying, he's only serving God because of what God has given him. The amount of that, I believe. Satan said to God, take away your blessing from him, and he will stop serving. Yeah, I want the blessing, but not the blesser. Huh? Take away blessing, see what happens. Thank God, I know that God's some people. And I thank God and praise God for them. In the good time, in the bad time, in the hard time, they have made up their mind. I have decided to follow Jesus, and I ain't turning back. I don't care what you say or what you don't say. I don't care what you do or what you don't do. I will serve the Lord. Amen? Amen? That's the kind of people God is looking for. So God allowed Job to be tested to prove to Satan that he was serving in his God because he loved him, God. And to let Job and others see his motive for serving God. How did God allow Job to be tested? Let me tell you. I don't know about another man, maybe like that, but I don't know. Another man that was tested like Job. Do you know anybody else that was tested like Job? I don't know. Maybe you can help me. How God allowed Job to be tested or tried? He permitted Satan to take away all of Job's wealth. So the man was a rich man, now he got no money now. What's going to happen now, right? You must still serve God. All the money gone. Job 1, verse 22.
He permitted Satan to take away all of Job's... Job's job or livelihood. My job out, my money gone. Now my job gone also.
And finish here.
He permitted Satan to take away all of Job's children, 7 sons and 3 daughters. Not even a little one left. All the children died. You still want some of that?
All right, still, you gotta look beyond. You gotta look beyond the present to the future. Amen? If only this world we have hope, we are all men what?
Most miserable. He permitted Satan to afflict Job with sickness. Even sickness now too. I lost my wealth. I lost my job. I lost my children. Now sickness.
Are you going to still serve the Lord? Under those conditions? You going to still serve the Lord?
He permitted 3 of Job's friends to accuse him of sinning. Now you see, when you're going through certain situations, you don't want nobody to come and tell you nothing negative.
Search your heart, brother. Sister, search your heart. You see them things happening to you? You better go far down your heart and see them not punishing. That's why God punishing you. Say who?
You think everything that happens on the body because they commit sin? Job didn't have no sin. He didn't commit no sin. It's just he was being tested. Yes, sometimes some people commit sin and they suffer for the sin, right? Amen?
Now, thank you.
And he permitted Job's own wife, who was supposed to be closest to her, right? Amen?
I wonder if she was... I know. If I bother again, it's a big problem, right?
She's supposed to be closer to discourage him. Job 2:9 tells us then his wife, that is Job's wife, said to him, curse God and die. Of course God and die.
Now when people talk to you like that, you got to discern his who is not. It's not they probably Satan put that in their head, amen?
I believe this was the enemy working here. They're trying to discourage this man from serving God. Amen? I mean, people coming around you, whoever that be, they might be close to you. Remember when one time Satan used Peter up to try to get the Lord out of the Lord look past me and see, say, get the hands back, Satan. Remember he said that?
Amen.
Huh?
Yeah.
So you gotta be careful. Maybe you want to be hard on Sister Jude. Remember, it was her wealth that was gone, her husband that was without a job, it was her children that died. Even Sister Job was saying, Lord, if it's American, if it's in this smart American, it's Lord, I can't take it anymore. If it's a guy needs now, you might say, Lord, I can't take it no more.
That's maybe company more this here. And I will not put none more.
Or in the place where in the area where they talk Creole, right?
So here was Sister Job. I can imagine how she felt. Well, listen, you got to learn to encourage one another. Wives got to encourage husbands. The husband, because listen, the devil is after both of you. Better believe it. Not only you after the man, the woman, you after both of you.
Yes.
Amen? And if he can't get you, he attack your children. Amen? You got to be the one who will be standing in the gap.
Job was severely tested, tried or tested, but praise God, through the grace and strength of God, he passed the test and proved to Satan, others of himself, that he was serving God. I mean, because he loved him. He said in Job 23:10, when he has tested me, I shall comfort us as gold. When he has what? Tested me. Where are you going through right now? Want you a rough time in your home? Accept all of those things. Amen. Rejoice and be what? Exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. Amen. Are you going through a rough time? At your school? Are you going through a rough time? At your workplace? Huh?
Satan attacks you from east, west, north, and south, you know. Amen? But you got to be the one who will stand up and say, listen, Lord, no matter what Satan brings, it's coming for a purpose. Lord, you must see in the name of Jesus by your help and strength. You must prove me, Lord, that I am serving you, God. Not because what you have given to me and what you have given, I'm serving you because I love you. And so when God says, yes, that's my boy, that's my girl, that's my child. Look, why you know it is serving? Because they love me. Amen. Now think about your children. Think about your children. You will speak it. Now children say, well, of course you don't need children. Mommy wants this, daddy wants, mommy wants this, daddy wants. Mm. And you help them out and bless them, right? The parents, right? But suppose you don't have nothing to give them one of these days. And they are complaining, one of them comforts you and say, daddy, mommy, I love you not because you're a gift to me. I love you because you're my father. I love you because you're my mother. That is why. That is why. I will respect you. And I'll do what I can, whatever I can do for you. Because you're my father. Because you're my mother. How you would feel as a parent? Huh? You'll feel like if you're on cloud nine, right? Because a child. Not because what you could have given to them out of their heart. They express their what? I know sometimes parents always say, we don't want them from our church, trust God, to sacrifice God. All we want them to do is to be appreciative of what you've done for them. Amen? Show your appreciation for whatever they do for you. Be grateful. Hallelujah. What was the result after God tested Job and proved to Satan and others that he was serving him as God because he loved him? God gave him back double. I said God gave him back double. I said God gave him back double. So when God finished testing us, what he does? Bless us. Oh yes, the testing might come. Some people might test him, might be short. Some might, I don't know the duration. It's only God know your temperature. And God know how much you can take and how much you can't take. Do you know, don't you really God know that? And you know what will cause you to become like him or not? So God, you see, the more strong you are in the Lord, so to speak, and the more mature, the more the test things, right? And the more the trial. Because God said, listen, I got something for you to do. Hallelujah. When did God bountifully bless Job and his family? After he went through the test. Hear what the word says? Because Job loved the Lord, he gave him back double time as well. For he had now 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camel, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 female donkey. God gave him back 7 sons and 3 daughters. God gave him back a better job. Job in the sovereign said some things he shouldn't have said. But when God gave him a revelation of who he is, he repented. And I believe in Sister Job saw the Lord cast out to him. Because another woman get this favor in the same Job wife, right? So the Lord put a beard. Oh, Lord, a son. Yea, and all those who once to live godly, life in Christ Jesus, what is the word? May suffer?
Will.
May suffer?
Will.
Will. You've got to go through it. So don't try and say, you know, some people live, I don't know where them get the gospel from. Some believe, once you accept Christ, you save them, Lord, you have a house, you have a land, you have a car, you have money, you know, and you're being tapped and you're trying to be king. Show me the Bible. We were part of the New Testament teachers. God promised supply all the needs. I know that. And he will supply your needs. You know who's Paul the Apostle? One of the greatest of the apostles. You have to read the things that he went through. Huh? They don't let nobody bring that kind of a teaching to you. All those who will live godly, not me, but shall suffer persecution. You've got to go through it. Amen? Amen? Got to go through it. So the next time suffering comes, you say, come suffering. Come. You want to come? Come. Amen. You come. I'm ready for you. And I'm going to endure hardness as a good soldier, right? And I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. Because I see you when you finish here. And comfort us. Gold. Because when you apply all those pressure on me,
I know the bigger the testing, I believe the greater the blessing. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? So right now, some of you, I believe some of you are going through some rough times and say, oh God, why? When is things undone? Well, let me tell you, it's not done till you reach it to be when to end up in heaven, then it's not done. Amen? Then when he shall appear, we shall be like him with a fight to the end. As a matter of fact, this world is not our home, we are what? Just a passing through. Now, secondly, why do you think God allows to suffer? That's why you see when the test comes, say, come on, bring it on! Bring it on! God's going to test me, and you can see my motive for serving him. When you come to that place, say, God, I'm serving you because what the scripture says. Love the Lord and God with all your heart, with all your soul, mind, and love, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you want to love your neighbor, God will put you through some testing to learn to love him. Amen? Amen? He'll put you through some testing till you learn to love him. Lord, 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 give up, Lord. Love, Lord, 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 Lord. A second reason God allows you to suffer is because he wants to make you like his son Jesus. Romans 8:29 tells us, for God knew his people in advance and chose them to become like his son. How does God make us like his son? One of the tools God used to make us like his son is suffering. I said, is suffering. I didn't say get us over quickly. Hebrews 12:5-10 tells us in the Bible, have you quite forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you, his child? He said, my son, don't be angry when the Lord punishes you. Does God punish people? Come on, does God punish people? Thank you, believe God has punished people.
Yes.
But listen to the reason why God punishes me. If God doesn't, alright, whoever heard of a son who was never corrected, if God doesn't punish you when you need it, as fathers punish their sons, then it means that you aren't really God's son at all, that you don't really belong to him in his family. Our earthly father trained us for a few brief years doing the best for us that they knew how. But God's correction is always right and for our best good, that we may share his holiness. That we may what? Share his holiness or become like him in character. Would you like to become like our Lord Jesus in character? Lord, I want to be. You ever seen that song? Come on, you ever seen that song? Lord, I want to be. Does it? Sing again, Mary. Lord, I want to be like Jesus. Sorry, that's not good. You want to be like Jesus? Well, then God wants you suffering to be like Jesus. Amen? Amen? You want to be like Jesus, you got to go through suffering. When a person receives Christ as Savior and Lord, God imparts into that person's spirit the very life of God. God, the Holy Spirit, also takes up residence in that person's spirit. 1 John 4:15. The spirit of man, according to the Bible, is called the inner man. In the book of Ephesians 3:14-19 tells us, Paul the Apostle was uttering a prayer for the church at Ephesus, and one of the things he prayed for was that the Christian be strengthened with might through God's spirit in the inner man. 2 Corinthians 4:16 tells us, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. According to the Bible, man is a triune being. He's what? Spirit, what else? Come on, he's spirit, soul, and what? And body. In the spirit of man dwells the spirit of God in the life of God. In order for the life of God to flow unhindered through us, something has to happen. Self-life has to be broken. Our spirit, so to speak, are enveloped and covered over by the soul. And in order for God's life to flow unhindered, the soul or the outward man, the man covering the spirit, has to be broken. Jesus our Lord said, listen to what our Lord said now. This our Lord said in the book of St. John 12:24, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it what? It remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. What is the death of a grain? The death of a grain means a cracking open of the shell. In every grain of wheat, there is life. Amen? Come on, in every grain of wheat, there is life. You may know about party, right? Rice. Good? Covering over this life is a shell. The cracking open of the shell means the depth of the grain. How is the shell cracked open? By putting it in the soil.
When the wheat is put into the soil, through the working of together of temperature, humidity, etc., the shell is cracked open. Once the shell is cracked open, the wheat begins to grow, or the life is released.
Yes.
Amen? Now, with every Christian, there is the life of God in our spirit. But before the life could be released, the self or soul man has to be broken or cracked open. One of the tools God used to break us or crack open our shell, which is the self, like is suffering. Amen? I said amen? So some of us, you know, you think we hard? God could crack any one of us. You think Saul of Tarsus was an easy man? But when God finished with him, then God said, Lord, what will I have me to do? And like, part of them, people are real hard, and they come to the Lord, and become stalwart in the faith, you know. Huh? Because you see, Paul the Apostle, he was bent on doing what he wanted to do. And when the Lord said, like, same kind of spirit, same kind of whatever energy had he put it toward the gospel. Amen? To my knowledge, Paul the Apostle had a very close walk with our Lord, the very life of God, the very power of God flowed through his life. His self, our soul, was broken. What caused it to be broken? I believe one of the things God used to one of the things that caused Paul to be broken was suffering. 2 Corinthians 12, 10 tells us, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me or to harass me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. In other words, like the suffering was coming, he said, Oh Lord, sufficient. Did the Lord take away that thing from him? What it was? Come on, did the Lord take it away? What the Lord said? My grace is what? And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities or weakness than that the power of God may rest upon me. Verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in what? In infirmity or weakness, in reproaches. Can somebody reproach you? Do you take pleasure in it? Are we reaching that place? Or insult. When people insult, do you take pleasure in it? In needs, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am what? So praise the Lord. When you see a different thing coming to us, when we are suffering in different ways, God just said, God watch past you. And what he sees your motive. Do you know when you give something, God bypass you giving him look at your motive?
Yeah.
Every time you pray, God bypass your motive. And look, why you praying? God is what my hand. I'm a man in the church. Well, of course, I used to stand in the stage. I used to see a large church. Man in the congregation, right? So watch me. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. He's a watcher. See, who watching me properly? Anybody watch me? Huh? I pray to God, me one who watch me and who ain't watch me, amen? And some people, when they pray, they want to be noticed. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Now, if you want to do that and you're sincerely, no problem. Bring him into your prayer. No problem as long as your heart is right, right? Amen, amen. As long as your heart is right. I ain't got no problem. As long as your heart is right, I ain't got no problem. So, what's your motive? What's your motive when you pray? So God will allow us to suffer so we can see our motive for serving Him. God will allow us to suffer so we can become more like Jesus. So bring it on, Satan! When you finish doing what you got to do, and God finishes what you got to do, I can comfort as gold. Amen? God is going to see the reason for me to serving Him. And I can become more and more and more like you. Thirdly, God allows us to suffer God allows us to suffer as Christians so that His plan and purpose could be fulfilled in our lives. Could you remember Joseph? Come on, could you remember Joseph? What did Joseph do to be thrown in a pit? Come on, help me. Did he do anything wrong to be thrown in a pit?
Huh? What did he do to be sold into Egypt? What did he do to be accused falsely by that woman, Potiphar wife? What did he do? Did anything wrong? What did he do to end up in jail? Well, being in jail is not suffering. Being accused wrongfully is not suffering. But see, through the suffering, God was working out his plan and purpose for Joseph's life. Something you're going through this, you don't understand. You're like, no, you never understand. You don't love, Lord, to trust me. Amen? You tell like Joseph didn't understand too? Huh? Now, when you interpret the dream of the bottle on it, and maybe he said to one of them, when you get you see before, I think of the bottle. He said, well, you see, when you go before him, mention me, Lord. That's something to me. You tell he didn't understand what God is doing. But I think two years pass. And when the situation arises, see how God has worked, all things work together. When Spirit had a dream, now I remember. Because that was the appropriate time. That was the right time, in the fullness of time. Yes. Said, they got a man by the name of Joseph. They bring him out. Yes. Amen? And what God did to Joseph, he was now in the perfect will of God. Let me tell you, some people might give you a rough time. Right? And they think they're doing, you know, they're doing you harm. But God is using them same people. You see, Satan is a puppet in the hand of God. Because see, God knew what would happen to Joe, how Joe would come forth. God knew how Joe would come forth victoriously, amen? God knows Joseph would come through. You see, he gave us what we can take. He wouldn't give us more than we can bear. God will give us more than we can bear. So, Satan is saying, cut him now. And he brushed your head. Good for him. You think he's a big one? Well, good for him. In the scripture, my father jealous of him, hated him. And like he himself, he didn't understand. No, you don't have to understand. You have to trust God. Say, God, you know what you're doing. Amen? Amen. For all things work together for good. So God was putting in one. When you're going through suffering, say, God, I know you want my motive. At least my soul, because I love you. Secondly, I'm going to be like Jesus. Thirdly, I'm fitting into a perfect plan for my life. What? Like the brothers then realize what they have done, right? Here was Joseph telling them, you meant it for evil, but what happened? God meant it for good. So see all them things you're going through now? The enemy might be using this body, using that body, using this situation, and they might think it's evil they're doing, but God turned around the evil for your good. But all things are what? Working together. Of course, in the beginning you might not understand it, but all things are working together for what? Good. For them that love the Lord. It's just a matter of time factor, amen? In the fullness of time, God sent food. So, and God, it is said, when they were making vows, these vows, in ancient time, of course it's ceramic. They'll bake the mud, they'll shape it, and then they'll put it in the oven. I think that's the correct word. And the person that, the potter that make it, he'll go to the oven and you listen. Right? Okay, they might be going out on a song here, but you ain't ready yet to come out of there. Mm-hmm. You gotta stay in the oven. Mm-hmm. When you hear a singing song, maybe swing here, you say, but you're ready for come out. Because you're finished. When you hear the singing song, then he knows he's ready to come out of the foreigners. So if you're grumbling and complaining, church and the people in the house and the people in the house. I say, you're ready to come to the fire yet? You're not staying there. You're not ready to come out yet. Yeah. You're not ready to come out yet when the Lord is. Hallelujah, anyhow. Never. My son, you're ready to come out now. My daughter, you're ready to come out now. Amen. Why do you think Paul and Silas got delivered? Because they knew that they knew all this, they knew what to do, I believe. So when the breaching situation, what they prayed and sang. Do you know that the deliverance came to them? Because you were ready to come up with that situation. So how long you want to stay in the situation? For pain of fret and fume, and say you must remain there till when God hears you singing. Amen? Amen, sister? Son? That did be a prayer to the Father. Now,
Fourthly, God allows us to suffer so that he can get glory. Remember, because Daniel prayed, he was doing anything about the German alliance then? Remember that? Remember the short Daniel alliance? Was he doing anything wrong? But God delivered him. I think the scripture records Daniel, of course, I believe Daniel gave glory to God. The king of kings, and he commanded his subjects to give glory to God. So out of your situation, God will get glory. I say out of your situation, God will get glory. Come in here and say, man, what in this body, what in that part? How is she able to go to God? How is she able to go to God? All of them things that I would have not put it through any problem. Some people say, how is she able? Yeah, and they say, well, all right, there's something behind that person. Yes, something else. That's something. Someone, Jesus. It's Jesus. Amen? Amen? Good. All right, I'm coming on to the end. I'm going to go through this whole message. Praise God. God will allow us to suffer. And this is an important one. So, when others are suffering, I say when others are suffering, we could sympathetically minister to them. What the word of the word says, for we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but with no point in the like as we are, what? Yet without sin. Right? So, if you are never hungry, and a man come to you, and you say, I'm hungry, I mean, I'm time generally. You come and say, all right, brother, let me pray for you. And the Lord bless you. But if you were hungry, the man comes to you hungry and say, why come? Yeah, it looks up to you. Buy something up. Put some food to you. Because you were hungry, you know, you didn't see me hungry, right? Amen? When some people go through some terrible situation and say, brother, sister, pastor, pray for me. And you get through that situation, you think, I tell them, I'm talking to you. Come, brother, come, sister. Let me pray for you. Because you know the situation the people went through. You're going to be quick to condemn them. You're going to be touched, so to speak. You're supposed to be touched with the feelings of their weaknesses. And pray for them, amen? Because you went through the same thing. So why do you think God allowed you to go through that thing, sir? You've got to learn this. If God is going to use you, you got to put you through some situation so that you can be triumphant over those things. When others come to you, when others come to you in the same situation, you know what to tell them, how to get out of this situation. Right? You know what to tell them. Because you went through it already. If I never had a problem, how could I know that God could solve them? I'll never know what my faith in God could be. So next time you go through, say, Lord, I have a plan and a purpose. Do you know, generally speaking, you know, when God uses people, if I'm out of the job, I'm drunk at it. God will use that drug addict to go reach out to the drug addict. You know so? Whatever backing the man came from, yes. God is using him to go, and because he knows, he understands, he had the experience, right? So you see, whatever you're going through now, say, God, all right, this is it. You're preparing me now to minister to other people. And I must be able to trust you. I must be able to trust you so I can, what? Get over this. All right. Last one. I'm going to give an example. Now, some people go through some rough time in this life. When I say rough time. And they wonder, well, Lord, if this is all there is to life, it's better maybe some of them might say, it's better I wasn't born. Huh? It's better I was not born. But is this world our home? What Paul the Apostle said, if only this world we have hope, we are what? We are of all men most miserable. So when the testings and the trials and the persecution come, lift up your head. Lift up your eyes and say, Lord, I'm just a world that belongs to me. I'm not this world, not my home. I'm just a passing through. And this earth here is a preparation for the one to come. So I've got to pass the test here. Amen? If I'm going to enter in. So when the testings and the trials and the situation come, look up to heaven and say, Lord, this is not it. If on this world you have hope, but there's a hope beyond the grave. What Jesus said, let not your heart be what? Troubled. You believe in God, what? You also. In my Father's house are what? If it were not so, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again, receive you unto myself. And here I am, here we are. So all the testing, all the trying, all the pursuing, we go, thank God. Just one glimpse of him in glory with what? All the toils of life repealed. I said all the toils of life repealed.
So it's just a matter of time. I give it 100 years. If anybody really harmed. What was 100 years? I can make 100 if the Lord will come, right? So, you see me. Can't your faith be that good? And I want me old man. Never be 100 because I got to be as well and strong. Yeah?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. One can strengthen me. Even if you lift 100 or take 200. Right? What is 200 years in comparison to eternity? No eternity means never ending. It's just a short period of time. No wonder the Bible says, what your life is like, what vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanished away. Only a little piece of life, so you got here, on board, to death. So maybe a little soul in comparison to eternity. But eternity is where you will be living here forever and ever. I was watching at a woman, Mary Baxter, thing, right? And God, the Lord showed her she went into hell. Show her what hell is, and that thing kind of troubled me. I said, do people really believe in heaven? Man? You don't really believe in heaven, a place called heaven and hell? Imagine if you die and go to hell, you're going to be there forever and ever, everlasting torment, everlasting punishment. It will be forever and ever and ever. What should the prophet man if he what? In the whole world, with his own soul. What should a man do in it? Now, if hell was not real, did Jesus talk about hell?
Yes.
He was a master. It got to be real because Jesus don't lie. Amen? And suppose now, thank God is not heaven to rent. And heaven is the opposite of hell. All the joy, the peace, and satisfaction, no more death, no more sickness, no more pain. But hell, place of everlasting torment. Everlasting. And if you died of hell, you would have been dead if you were never born. Amen? It's a place where the fire is not quenched. The worm died not. Imagine a worm coming out to you and then dying, you die. The fire is there burning and burning and burning and burning. I heard a story with a man who was going to be killed. I don't know if it was by injection or whatever, but electric chair. And somebody come and read it to him, some minister, then the father, whoever. I read to them, they do anything about hell or whatever. And apparently the scriptures, he stopped by the Holy. If I believe in the place called hell, I'm going to crawl on their knees and not tell people, tell even them that they got the place. Why do we? But do we believe? Do we believe? So what are we doing? What are we doing about our belief? And sometimes while the people really believe in heaven, they really believe in hell, they really believe in demons. Do we really believe in hell, heaven, and demons? Do we believe in the judgment of God? What is going on in this world? That's why we got to pull ourselves together. Amen? And live only to please God. I feel this over and over. No matter from my family to grandchildren, to anybody, church, anywhere I go, do the greatest thing to do in life. Live to please God, walk to please God. I don't know what anything that is greater than that. Be good consistently. Do it continually. God will bless you this life and the next life to come. When I stand before God, you up here. Oh, you're a good preacher. I don't consider myself. I know. I try to share God's word and trust God. People respond to it. Amen? If there's good, God, there's good. But I'm mindful of being written. As a Uber, I'm interested in that. I'm interested in people come to serve the Lord. Amen? And people live for the Lord and love the Lord and do that which is pleasing. That's what I'm interested in. When I stand up before the Lord, all I want to hear, well done! Oh, good. And what? Educated servant, right? Come on. Well done, Don. Well done. Thou good. If you're not well done, that wasn't rich servant, right? Not educated, not rich, faithful. Faithful. Thank God they got some people. You can depend upon them when you come to the work of God. That's the kind of people that this God depends. Now, you say, oh God, I'm depending upon you. God, I'm depending upon you. So, oh God, turned around and said, can I depend on you? You have Sunday school coming up. And thank God, I always say when the members, we didn't have very good, some of the brethren,
made some good comment, like I said, Brother Sistine, that's it. They're the right direction going. So what I'm looking for now is everybody, including the whole church, that made comment and who didn't make comment, maybe so we can support this on this. Amen? I thank to all of us now. Amen? We must all be willing to make sacrifice for the work of God can go on. Amen? When somebody trying, we all have this thing together. If somebody trying, help them along. If you don't know how to teach, you don't know how to preach. Let's help them to teach it. Amen? Amen? Help them preach it if they can't do it. Go and do it. I'll let them back to you. We gotta work here. Listen, this song is still gotta pick up. The lecture and all, if you're wrong, lecture right to this one. And we gotta trust the Lord to give them what the Lord is. Such as I have what you deserve, such as I have given. We got the Lord, we gotta give them. Amen? So the school, the youth, everything will pick up. Hold on. Prayer's going up. Every single day, prayer's going up. And God, sometimes you don't work on our agenda, you work on His agenda, right? But I want to encourage everybody to work hard. Realize where God tells, wherever God, work hard. Let us labor for the Master. From the dawn till setting sun, let's talk about His wondrous love and care. I can imagine when we stand before God, you think you'll be able to be able to say, Lord, is the man, the brother, see, you are giving a phone for yourself. What do you do with my gospel? What do you do with your relation to your life and your service? What do you do? What do you tell God? Tell me what to tell God. What do you tell God? And the thing about it, it's not my mother, not my father, but it's me, O Lord. You have to stand alone. Every one of us shall give an account of our own lives. Amen? Amen? What do you tell God? So all of you are going through a rough time right now. Right? Remember the purpose for your suffering. Can't get a purpose. You want to see a motive. Why are you serving me? Amen? Amen? You want to become like the Lord Jesus? You got to go through your suffering. You want to be in the perfect will of God? You got to go through your suffering. You want to bring glory to God? You got to go through your suffering. You want to be sympathetically be able to minister to God? You got to go through your suffering. You want the God to allow suffering to happen to us so we can think seriously about heaven. This world is not my home. That's a pastor. Let's pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.